You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito. I thank you for marking out 15 minutes of your Tuesday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. Specifically, we study the New Testament verse by verse. Here this week, we are in Matthew chapter 18. And we're looking at we're going through this gospel. The Lord's focusing on a couple things here today and this week. Number one is having the faith of a child. That unless you have the faith of a child, he says, you will by no means enter into the kingdom. And think about that. The faith of a child. A child believes he came from God. A child believes God creates the heavens and the earth. That is, unless he's been taught something other than that. And if he has, Jesus says, woe to you who mislead a child. It'd be better for you if a millstone was hung around your neck. This is where we're starting this message here today. The warnings, the dire, strict, terrible warnings of misleading a child and the fate that awaits you if you don't repent of that sin. This is part two now of this message, Matthew chapter 18.
Woe, verse 7, woe to the world because of scandalon, offenses. For offenses must come. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes. What does that mean? How can you mislead a child? How can you cause a child to sin? This list is by no means exhaustive. Here's a couple. Number one, school teacher. You're a school teacher. And you teach your children the theory of evolution and teach it as fact. While God says all along, in the beginning, God made the heaven and the earth. You see, the debate, the evolution debate is only 90 seconds long, church. It's not 3 days long, hours on hour. Oh, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's it. And if you don't believe that, then you failed the first test and you don't have the faith of a child. And you'll by no means enter into the kingdom. Because children believe their father. Look, when you stop believing this book, you are just slapping God in the face and poking him in the eye. And I advise against that. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. He doesn't even have to say anything. Walk out at night and look up. How about Romans chapter 1? His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that men and women are without excuse. You don't even need anything other than that. But childlike faith. What do you need? A sign hanging on the mountain that says, hello, I made this. God. I see other signs like that.
Don't make me come down there.
God, I love those signs. Don't make me come down there. Dash. God. Sorry, he is coming back again. Right? And for all you geniuses out here in the world today, God's got a word for you today. Here it is. Might take me half an hour to read it. It comes out of Job 38. And God says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. 38:5. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. There is more question marks in Job 38 than anywhere in the whole Bible. Where were you? You know so much, Bill Nye. Where were you? You know so much, Stephen Hawking. Where were you? Let me wipe the drool off your chin and you come up here and tell me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? You know so much, you can't even get up. You better get on your knees. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, where were you? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, where were you? When I fixed my limit upon it and I set bars and doors, when I said, this far you may come, O waves, but no further, where were you? Have you entered the springs of the sea? Have you walked in verse 16? Have you walked in the search of the depths? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? My translation, the Greek Septuagint, says, has the porters of hell quake when you walk by? Where were you? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. Where is the way to the dwelling of light and darkness? Where is its place? That you may take it to its territory, that you may know the paths to its home. Then God asks this question in verse 21. Do you know it because you were born then, or because the number of your days is great? Imagine being on the receiving end of all this. He's not done. Have you entered the treasury of snow? Have you seen the hail which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? He goes on and on and on and on. Is the rain a father? Who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice and the frost of heaven? Can you bring out Maseroth in its season? It's a star constellation. Can you guide the great bear with his cubs? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you set their dominion over the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds? Can you send out lightning that they may go and say to you, here we are? Who put wisdom in the mind? Who has given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds? Who provides food for the raven when its young ones cry out to God and wander about for lack of food? And that is for all of you school teachers that teach evolution, that you came out of a mud hole. God says different. Where were you when I, if you can contend with the Almighty, knock yourself out. I don't advise it. And Jesus says, woe is you if you mislead a child. James says, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you will receive a stricter judgment. James chapter 3, verse 1. And that's my sermon. Have a great day. How else can you cause a little one to stumble? Number 2, teaching a child that sin is acceptable. I'm talking to you, homosexual and lesbian parents, who adopt the child, then raise up the child, and teach them there's nothing wrong with how they live. Or a parent that lets a child decide later what sex they want to be when they grow up. Mark words it the same way. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a huge millstone was hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea. So did you know that Russia now won't allow Americans to adopt their children anymore? They can't. We've come to the point now where even Russians won't let Americans adopt children. Why? Because Americans are infected with the spirit of Antichrist. That's why. And woe to you if you cause a child to sin. You'd be better off with a millstone around your neck and you'd be cast out here in the sea than what's going to happen to you for causing a child to sin. Number three, how else can you mislead a child? Number three is geared toward men. That is three, by being an evil man. Millions upon millions of children have bad memories and are unable to love a man or trust a man or honor God as masculine because they had an evil coward for a father who assaulted them or who physically assaulted their mother. I'll call you from here, you're a coward. You beat on a woman, you're a coward. You sexually molest your child, you're a coward. Big tough guy. Without getting on your knees in repentance, you will by no means enter the kingdom. But you see, this is why the blood is so important. If you're convicted so far and there's breath in you, this is why Jesus died. For you to be forgiven of that. You leave it here today. There is nothing you have done that you cannot be forgiven of. Hallelujah, he's still convicting you of these things. If you're so far guilty, my Jesus didn't die in vain. And that's why there's such dire warnings for taking communion the wrong way and trampling underfoot the blood of the Savior, because there's power in the blood. No matter what you've done, his blood is strong enough to obliterate your sins. That's good news. That's good news. Let's move on. Let's move on to church discipline. Verse 15. It's usually bad news. I've met people here in this church, not recently left people, but long ago left people. They used to be able to quote Matthew 18. And I was, whoa, I'm scared of anyone that can quote Matthew chapter 18. When you know by heart the textures on scriptures on church discipline, you're involved in it so much that you know it by heart.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to Brevard County's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM.